Hello and welcome back to Planet Crime. Thank you for joining me on my part two of my microsode. Smaller than a minisode. I am just going to crack right on and get straight into it. Travasco had decided to put his friend Mangor's violent temper to use and had given him a job at his backyard bar. Mangor had previously been in prison for kidnap and rape, which is why Travasco was gravely concerned. He knew this man had a reputation for violence against women and he was well known to the police for firearm charges. When police asked Travasco why he'd waited so long as to tell the police this information, he said that on the night that the police had put the roadblocks up, he'd gone to speak to them after being at the bar drinking to try and forget about all of this situation. Except, while he was stood, waving his hands around and ranting at the police officers, Mangor had phoned him to warn him about the roadblocks and to be careful. Travasco was so worried that Mangor had seen him speaking to the police, and that was why he was calling, to warn him. After Mangor had picked up Elodie, he had driven her in the direction of where the photo shoot was about to take place. Except, when police checked Elodie's last known location using phone towers, they noted that her phone had last pinged in Volvere, a 20-minute detour. Police decided that trying to locate Mangor would be like trying to find a needle in a haystack, so decided on smoking him out. They set up a trap. Police got Travasco to meet up with Mangor at a regular bar that they both went to. Mangor took the bait and said, "Sure, I'll meet you for a drink." Police were watching carefully and waited for Travasco and Mangor to leave the bar. Mangor started walking towards his white van. Police got closer to the white van, hoping to find Elodie inside. But all they found was Mangor, his friend Richard Linier, and Mangor's wallet inside. But when police searched Mangor's wallet, they found a credit card belonging to Elodie Morel. Officers learned that Mangor had been staying with his friend Richard Linier. Linier had no prior convictions and was unknown to the police. However, officers decided to storm Richard's property, seeing as this is where their prime suspect told them that this is where he'd been staying. On entering the Linier's home, officers happened upon one of the most bizarre scenes they would ever come across. Both Richard Linier's wife and daughter were sat at the dining room table, eating a meal, and continued to do so, even with a whole task force storming their property. Officers noted how the Linier women just stared into space. Police continued to search the property. Evidence started to appear that Elodie had been at the Linier residence. A floral dress, a black hat and bag, but the most telling was a mobile phone. A mobile phone that had belonged to Elodie. Mangor and the Liniers were arrested. Getting Mangor to talk was proving more difficult. However, they could tell that Richard Linier was ready to break. Guillaume Mangor had turned up some days before and had stormed into the Liniers saying that he had a woman in his car and that he needed to hide. Linier let Mangor hide out in his garage. In the time he was there, he'd been back into the house, once for water, and once when he came in wanting to be fed. Francine Linier recalls Mangor telling her that he was going to kill the girl that he'd locked up and he was going to do it by strangling her. Just like her husband, she made no attempt to call the police. Once police had broken Richard Linier, they started on Mangor. He changed his story over and over again. He even tried to blame Richard Linier. But what actually happened was that night, Mangor had driven off with Elodie, tied up in his vehicle. He claimed to have killed her in a fit of rage, but what actually happened was that Mangor tortured Elodie while she was tied up in the Liniers' garage, and at some point he had strangled her. But with no body, police went to the location where Elodie had left her black BMW. When she went to meet the casting director, for the Rolls-Royce campaign.
Police conducted a full search of Elodie's black BMW. In the trunk, they found Elodie's body.
An autopsy revealed that she had indeed been strangled and subjected to horrible torture. Mangor received a 30-year sentence. The Liniers received a 6-year sentence. Dominique Travasco, even though he could have done more and is said to have regrets about that situation,
he was never charged. And that concludes part two. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that this episode was for all you parents out there or caregivers that have got like 10 minutes to themselves. As a parent myself, I know that entertaining a little one all day can be exhausting. And so if you get to go and hide doing some cleaning for a little while, maybe you could give this a listen. Let me know what you thought. I thought now I would go on to what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, just to give you guys some extra content of true crime stuff that I know we're all into. So, I think I'll break this down into categories. If you would like to listen to something non-sweary, then Crime Junkie is your friend. Their theme tune is amazing and makes me want to dance to it. And Ashley Flowers is a great storyteller. She really engages the listener, but she doesn't go into too much gore. She just gives a lot of details, and she's done a lot of work for missing people. So I definitely recommend Crime Junkie. If you want to laugh, My Favourite Murder is they are my girl crush. I think that they are hilarious, and like me and Meeks, they're just two women who met each other and found out that they both love true crime and decided to do a podcast. They're much funnier than we are, or than I am. Meeks is quite funny. So, give them a listen. My Favourite Murder. They've got some great taglines and loads of content to binge while you stay at home. Again, they don't cover a lot of child stuff. They've got a lot of their live shows up, which are really, really good. They've covered some really quite obscure cases. They also make lots of recommendations, which is awesome. I quite often write them down as I'm cleaning in the house with my earbuds in. And another one for lighter listening is Southern Fried True Crime. Sometimes early in the morning when I'm alone, I'm not necessarily listening to the story that she's telling. I just love her drooly yarl voice. I can't get enough of the Deep South accent. So she's a really good storyteller. I follow her on Instagram. She's called Erica. Great podcast, and all about crimes in the South, which is interesting because it covers a lot of racial stuff, and their mentality and culture is different to like other parts of America, pretty much like it is anywhere, I suppose. But they seem very extreme, and all that stuff that you've seen on the telly, yes, real, it actually happens. Another Deep South one is Gone Cold. He is really Southern on that, sometimes to the point where it irritates me, but great content, great podcast. Okay, do you want to get dark and twisty? For those Grey's Anatomy fans out there, you will know what I mean by this, but if you want to get dark and twisty, Sword and Scale. Great podcast for detail. Just really quite gruesome, so be careful. It is with warning that I recommend this podcast to you, because there may be some ones that you want to skip. I've listened to all of them. I'm even part of his Plus Club because their content is
really well researched and told really well. He also produces a daily show, which is like about 15 minutes long, called Sword and Scale Daily. And it's almost like listening to the news, but news that you want to hear about rather than what is on the television or on your radio. So it's crime news, basically, and really, really interesting. And they give updates. So if you're following like the Laurie Vallow story, the lady that thinks that she's a doomsday prepper and her children are missing, there's constant updates. And the Gannon Storch case as well, that they give some great updates on that. And so it's a great one to tune into every day. Every day, 15 minutes while you're, you know, waking up or whatever it is that you do. Okay, another really good, highly detailed, well-researched, dark and twisty podcast is Case File. Case File, he's an Australian guy that presents this. He's got no name. Yeah, he just calls himself the anonymous host. So, but again, I mean, he's really, really, really good. Great content. True Blue is another one. Good for sort of easier listening. I'm just trying to think of any other. Oh, Murderish. I like her. Again, she's quite good for easy listening. Canadian True Crime. Now, that is one that I really, really, really like. She did an episode on Robert Picton. Very, you know, obviously, you know, I've done an episode on Robert Picton, but her detail is second to none. I would definitely recommend getting over there and listening to her. And then a couple of other sort of ones that I have on to listen to are Female Criminals, Best Case, Worst Case, and Dateline. That should set you all up for a bit. Dateline has got is basically the TV program, but in podcast form. You can just listen to all the episodes, and again, loads of content. Binge the absolute shit out of that, because again, they've got weird, twisty stories in there that you don't necessarily hear about. They're not like the infamous ones, the famous ones that we hear about all the time. I'd really like to hear from anyone. I know before we said that we wouldn't do well-known cases, but if there is a well-known case, so I'm talking like Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, BTK, if you would like to hear an episode on them, please let me know, because I'm happy to do it. We don't know yet when Meeks's computer will be fixed, or when we can resolve that issue. It's really tricky at the moment, as I'm sure you're all aware. Everyone's closed. So, yeah, hard drive problems, needs a new hard drive. So she's on it, but it's proving pretty tricky at the moment. And obviously she can't walk around the corner to my house because we're not allowed to. For good reason. But yeah, so it's making it a bit tricky. So he might just have to put up with me for a bit. Have you all watched Tiger King on Netflix? If you haven't, get your asses over there right now, because honestly, you will look at the person that you're watching this with or say it to yourself at the end. What the fuck did I just watch? It is insane. You think you're watching a programme about tigers, and you are watching a programme about tigers. But again, like, just what the fuck? And also, like, it's funny as well. There's some funny bits in there, and yeah, really, really good. And I've just read actually this morning that Netflix are going to be doing like a follow-up episode. So, because it's become really popular in the true crime community, everyone is all over it, because it really is a what story? Other things that we're watching. Oh, finally found the last season of Criminal Minds. I don't know if there's any Criminal Mind fans out there. It's a bit cheesy, but I love it. Absolutely love Criminal Minds. Obviously, it's about the behavioural analyst unit at the FBI, and they profile killers. And some of them, it's a bit sort of Mind Hunter-y, another programme, that they use sort of profiles based on real killers,
and real serial killers and then turn them into a character in the show. So if you're, you know, knowledged up on your true crime, then you will be able to relate some of the real life cases to the ones in the show. But I love that show. Their taglines, wheels up in 10. You know, I say that to the boys when we're about to head out. I've tried. My brother is desperate for me to watch Walking Dead, and I promised him that I would try, and I have tried. I really have, and I'm really sorry to any Walking Dead fans, but I can't. Maybe it's because I've got a young child that makes a lot of mouth noises, or just makes a lot of noise. He's great, but he makes a lot of noise, and I cannot deal with all the zombie stuff in the evenings. It almost irritates me. I'm sure I've been told that the story is really good. I thought it might freak me out a little bit, you know, which I enjoy. Freak me out a little bit while the, you know, coronavirus is around, because it's almost sort of there, the empty streets, that kind of thing. But no, the zombie noise has just got on my nerves, so I just no, couldn't. But I'm a bit stuck of what to watch next, because I've only got one season of Criminal Minds left. I've done Mindhunter, I've done Don't With Cats, I've watched them all. But if you can recommend a series for me to watch, for me and Meeks to watch, we could binge watch together remotely, I would really appreciate it, because we're running low. So that's it from me. Join me next time, where I will be telling you a story that will creep you the fuck out. So, until next crime, P.S. Stay in, don't be a dick.